We've been looking at a series called Rhythm, and this is our last one. And it's important that we have rhythm every day. Every day we need to have some level of consistency, but we need to have some level of what it is that we do on a daily basis so that we have a level of consistency, a level of normality, rhythm, like in music. And so this is our last week, and what I wanted to talk about today was a rhythm of gratitude. Do you have a rhythm of gratitude? And so this week I asked somebody to write down a wee list of things that they were thankful for. I asked them to get an A4 sheet and to write some things that they were thankful for. And so I told them not to take any longer than 5 minutes. And so I would say that's at least 3/4 of a sheet that they have filled in with things that they're thankful for. Now, I won't name everything that's on this, but I'll just go through some. One, the top thing, and I don't think they're in order, do you know, it's just as they come to mind. Having God in our life is at the top. Then their spouse, their children, dogs, home, friends, family. Then the beautiful town we live in, the beautiful scenery that surrounds us, lifestyle, pace of life, the gifts I've been given, being able to help others, their car, the air they breathe, laughter with friends, sister, niece, nephews, all those things. And if you're ever really struggling, and you're ever really wondering, well, John, I don't have a huge amount to be thankful for, I would challenge that right off the bat. And I would encourage you to sit 5 minutes and just write down what you're thankful for. And if we have a rhythm of gratitude, if we come before the Lord and say, do you know what, Lord, I am thankful for this. And that might be that you're thankful that you get out of bed that morning, that you might be thankful that you take breath, that you have food in the cupboard, that you've got a roof over your head, that you've got clothes that you can put on your back. All those are a good starting point. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, or if you've got friends, you've got family, those are good starting points where you thank the Lord for what it is that you have. But today we're going to start off in the Old Testament just to build up a scenario that quite clearly and biblically shows that it is the right attitude to have a rhythm of gratitude. So we're going to start at Psalm 105, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6, and it is on the screen, hopefully you're able to read that. And it says this: oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all of his wonderful deeds, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And we'll go there, right? But you think about it. Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Then it says, make known his deeds among the peoples. As we continue to talk about what God has done in our lives, and we share that with other people, automatically comes from giving thanks, and then will cause us to even more give thanks. Sing to him, which we were just doing as we started the service. Sing praises to him and tell of all his wonderful works. God has done wonderful works in your life, and you might be thinking, oh no, Johnny, hasn't he? Oh yes, he has. You're here. You're here worshipping him because he invaded your life. when you accepted him as your Lord and Saviour. That is a wonderful work that you need to praise him for. Because otherwise, it wasn't looking good for you or me. But he changed that. Then it says to glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. We seek him. We should automatically be in a position of rejoicing. And we're going to look at what Paul says about that in a few minutes. But then there's another passage. The Psalms are great for this kind of thing. Psalm 9 verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. David's saying with all of who he is, not just a part. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. There's that thing again, his wonderful works, his wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And this kind of sets kind of the picture, doesn't it? That the people who call in the name of the Lord and the people who give thanks to the Lord do it with everything that they have. And as they do that, they'll tell of his wonderful deeds. They'll be glad and they'll exult in you, which means they'll just lift his name up high and they'll rejoice in who he is and they'll be full of his gladness. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Does this sound like people who are glum? Does it sound like people who don't want to get out of bed in the morning? At this point, it doesn't. But if you read about David, he was up and down like a fiddler's elbow. He had difficulties in his life, but he put them to the side and gloried in the Lord and who the Lord was and what the Lord had done. And when he found that a struggle, what he started to do was he started to recall all the wonderful things that God had ever done, not just in his life, but in the life of Israel from the very start right up until his life. That's what we need to do. And so that is specifically why I told you the two stories of what happened this week. Know that for me to look good, I don't really have any desire for that. I want the Lord to look good. That's what's most important. And if the Lord is healing people and making people's legs grow, then I don't have the power to do that. The only power I have is the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me, but that is given to me and I just gave it away. But you have that as well. Undoubtedly. And so what we do in part of giving thanks to the Lord, we rejoice in that and then we tell of his wonderful works and deeds. Then, if you look at Exodus chapter 10 verses 1 and 2, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them. Right? And so this was going to be all the different plagues that were about to happen, which were quite interesting if you think about it. That you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord. One of the reasons was he did those things to reveal who he was in his glory, but also to reveal that he was the Lord. And so then that through the generations to come, they could tell the stories and recall on the things that God had done that would cause them to be thankful and to give him praise. Because, Lord, we thank you for how you brought our enslaved nation out of Egypt, how you brought us to the fertile crescent, as we now know that Israel is part of, that you brought us to the most fertile land. Thank you that you saved us from the number one despot in the world at that time. You released us from his clutches. That's what it is. And they're recalling that. And that's what the Jews do. And they do it really well. And they do it on an annual basis. And that's why they do the Passover. And they recall what happened that night when the destroying angel came. And anybody that hadn't put the blood round the doorposts, then the firstborn in their house would die. And they recall that every year at the time of Passover. And there are several other times when they have different festivals, they recall what the Lord has done in the past. We need to do that. We need to be better at doing that. And so, we come to the New Testament. But before we look at that, the Jews took these instructions literally. And if you think about it as well, you can read this later on in your own time, but in Exodus chapter 15, you can read the song of Miriam and Moses. And it's a song of thanks and praise for what the Lord has done to save his people. And in that, it says, "Thank you, Lord, that you destroyed horse and chariot." Because you probably know that when Pharaoh and his armies pursued the Israelites and they came into the where the Red Sea had parted, that the waters ended up closing and they got utterly destroyed and vanquished. And they were in, the top charioteers were there, the number one, like the SAS of the Egyptian army. Just absolutely annihilated. And this song is really specific in the things that the Lord has done. Jews are wonderful at this. And there's loads and loads of other examples. But I want us to focus on this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And like I said earlier, you might be thinking, what have I got to be glad about? I don't have much to be glad about. But in the Lord we have much. Every single one of us. And the world can never take that joy from us. Do you know that? The world can't take that joy. The enemy will try and put everything else in your path to try and steal that joy. But that's, he can't come in and take the joy away. He can put other things in your path to try and null it. But he can't steal the joy. Don't let your joy be stolen. Rejoice always. Literally means to enjoy a state of happiness and well-being. Always. It's a duration of time, as we know. But it's where a reference to a series of occasions or always, at all times, on every occasion. Rejoice. Enjoy a state of happiness and well-being all the time. That's what Paul is writing to the believers in Thessalonica. Rejoice all the time. Be joyful. Be glad. Be in a state of happiness and well-being all the time. The enemy wants to steal that from you. And he says, rejoice. It's kind of, it talks about it in, is it Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. Paul wrote that as well. And he's telling all the believers in the churches that he has planted, rejoice always. Always be rejoicing. Always be happy. Always have good well-being. And do it all the time. Then he says in the next part, pray continually. And what it is when it says pray, it literally means to speak or to make requests of God. And it literally is saying, pertaining to not ceasing from some continuous activity. Don't stop praying. Don't stop speaking to or making requests of God. Then, give thanks in all circumstances. To express gratitude for benefits or blessings. And it doesn't say circumstances, it says in everything. Literally, that's the translation. Give thanks in everything. All the time, we're to give thanks. Now, if you're having a bad time, don't say, oh, thank you, God, that I'm having a bad time. That's not what that means. Oh, thank you that I got a puncture in the car. Thank you that the window smashed. Thank you that, oh, I didn't get paid this week because there's a problem in the bank. Thank you for that. Don't thank him for that. But thank him for who he is and for what he's done in your life, even though those other circumstances are happening. Give thanks in everything, all the time. His love and power gives us the strength to meet every situation in life. There are situations in your life that you have gone through that you would never ever have wanted to go through, but you came through them. You made it. You got to the other side. As hard as that might have been, it's challenging. But he gave you the strength. His power strengthened you for that situation. Like you say, don't thank him for the circumstances that you're going through, but thank him for the fact that in the circumstances you're going through, that the Lord is still there. Do you know when you're going through those hard times and it feels like the Lord's far away? It's never him that's created the distance. It's always us. Remember that no matter what it is that you're going through, he's always there. But what that means is this. To be able to give thanks in every circumstance presupposes that you've recognised God's sovereignty. That in all circumstances, he's working for the good of those who love him, like it says in Romans 8:28, who have been called according to his purpose. And then think about it like this. If you've got kids, I'm sure you want your children to be polite, am I right? And you teach them when they're younger, please and thank you. Is that just me?
No.
Good, thank you. So we say please and thank you, don't we? And we try and encourage them to say please and thank you. Because we want them to show their gratitude, don't we?
Yep.
Right. And so, I found this out. Ingratitude is one of the features of pagan depravity in Romans 1:21. We are expected as children of God to abound in thanksgiving. It tells us in Colossians 2, verse 7. Abound in thanks. That means abundant thanksgiving. And so sometimes you might think, oh, you're overdoing it a wee bit. You're not doing it enough. Abundant. So when something's abundant, so if we say there was an abundant rainfall, what would you be thinking? Would you think it was spitting for 20 minutes? Lashing. For how long?
Long time.
40 days. Would be an abundance, wouldn't it? And what we've today is we have to be abundant. We have to abound in our thanksgiving. But give thanks in everything, in all situations, all the time. Whatever it is you're going through, there's always something to be thankful for. And like this list that somebody drew up, things might be hard. But there's still three quarters of a sheet. And I guess if you were to wait and think for 20 minutes, it maybe be a wee bit longer. But you imagine you just you do that exercise and you write it on a sheet. Don't throw the sheet away and keep it. Then maybe you could use that in your prayer. And what about this? Rather than asking God for anything for the next week, when you've done your list of what you're thankful for, why don't you just for the next week when you're talking to God, just say, do you know what, God? I don't want to ask you for anything today other than maybe peace and your presence to be with me. But I need you to know, I want you to know that I am thankful for all these things that you've done in my life. And if that takes you 10 minutes, 20 minutes, just to give him thanks for that, how do you think he responds to that? He's like, yes, you're so welcome. And do you know what? Because you have been thankful for that which you have, which in some cases might not be a lot, here, have something else. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you that, but in my experience, when we're thankful for what we have, he blesses us with more. But I can't put a cast iron guarantee on that. It's all about our motives. But the Lord blesses us. So thank him for what you've got. Do that exercise. If it takes you 5 minutes, maybe for the person who wrote that for us in 5 minutes, their next step is to do it for 15 and start thinking of the other things that they have to be thankful for. Rejoice always. Now, if you think, if we rejoiced always, how different things would be. We'd have joyful faces for a start. We'd have smiles, which would be good. If you pray continually, what that means is if we're praying continually, we are on a regular basis talking to God. That's going to change things. That increases our relationship with him. And then if we're given thanks, no matter what it is that we're going through, for what God has done in our life. And then it says this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To give thanks in all circumstances isn't the only thing that's God's will. It covers the three of them. To rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. But here are just some things that I need to throw into the mix for you to try and help you grasp this a wee bit more. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks are all in the imperative mood. Normally in Northern Ireland, you're a whole lot better at grammar than anybody else in the UK because of the education system, right? That's why I do this. You probably understand it better than I would have until I studied Greek. I had no idea what a verb was. I had some idea it was a doing thing, but other than that, I knew not a lot. That probably is a reflection on me rather than anything else. But rejoice, pray, and give thanks are all in the imperative mood, which is akin to a command. Rejoice always, do it. Pray continually, do it. Give thanks in all circumstances, do it. Just do it. When it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, cast out demons, they are all in the imperative. You've got to do that. That's what he's called you to do. It's in the imperative. And so rejoice, pray, and give thanks are in the imperative mood. All of them are in the present continuous tense. That means we keep doing it. You don't just do it on a one-off. You do it all the time. It's a continuous thing. It's a behaviour that you get into that you keep doing. Then rejoice and give thanks are in the active voice. And pray is pretty much similar without going into too much detail. And so, there are three things that we have to act upon. We have to act upon rejoicing. We have to act upon praying. We have to act upon giving thanks. They are three things that we're to do, that we're to act upon, and we're to do them continuously. They're no optional. If you're a believer in Christ, there are three things that we are specifically, regularly called to do. And then, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is his desire for you. It's his desire that you rejoice always. It's his desire that you pray continually. It's his desire that you give thanks in all circumstances. That is one of the things he wants you to do. He desires you to do that. So when you desire something, what does that mean? You want something. And so when God desires something, that's what he wants from us. That his will for us in Christ Jesus. He wants us to do that. And that's why when Paul writes it, he writes it in the imperative mood. It's a command to do it. Do it. If you think about the Apostle Paul, Paul was a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament inside out, back to front, upside down, the whole thing. He was good at what he did. He knew what he was talking about when it came to Judaism. But for him, praise, intercession and thanksgiving weren't optional for us. We are required just as much as we are to be ethical in our conduct. We were called to do them as well. He talks about how we conduct our lives, but he talks about that. And that's why I referenced Philippians 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. It's important for him. That's what we've to do. And so a rhythm of thanksgiving and gratitude seems to be something that Paul encourages, not once but on several occasions. And as we give thanks for what we have in him, in my experience, he blesses us way more. And so you're like, okay, John, that all sounds well and good. How do we apply that to our lives? Said this before, but you're like, John, I don't have much joy in my life. And this might sound harsh, but I don't mean it that way, but I make no apologies for how it might sound. But you would have joy if you would rejoice. That sounds really obvious, doesn't it? But you would have joy in your life if you would rejoice. Sometimes it takes effort. But if you rejoiced, you'd be joyful. And you want the Lord to answer your prayers. And when you come to him and you petition, oh Lord, I really need this. But it says pray continually. And if you spoke to him on a regular basis, then maybe he'd start to do something. Because he's not just there to be a lawyer, is he? A banker or a doctor. He wants to be your friend. He's your Lord and your Saviour, but he wants to be your friend. And then, do you want to be thankful for what you have? Then, to be thankful for what you have means you have to give thanks. Again, sounds obvious, but to be thankful, give thanks. And so my encouragement to you this week is, do you know, nobody sees what you do when you're in your kitchen. You can be as much a nut in your kitchen as you want. So get the CD player or the MP3 player on, crank it up and listen to some worship and rejoice. And you might just find that this strange thing comes upon you, that you might experience joy. Because as you rejoice, you'll have joy. And then if you speak to the Lord on a regular basis, he hears you anyway. But then it might start to become just that wee bit more real for you, because you're like, oh, and then guess what? He might speak back. And then lastly, if we give him thanks, we might start to realise, oh, I'm really thankful for that. I'm thankful for what I have in my life. And so that is how to apply it. It's no rocket science. It's no difficult, but it takes effort on our part. It takes effort. And unless... it's kind of like this, and I'm going to finish with this. I am in no fit state to run a 10K next week. I'd be fortunate if I make one. And I could do myself a wee bit of damage. But, Felicity, do you still run? Could you do a 10K next week? How often do you go running? So Felicity is in a much better place, much better shape, better conditioned to go and run a 10K. But do you just find yourself magically in the middle of the road in the country running? No, you don't. It takes effort to put your running gear on because you've maybe had a hard day. You've got to go to work later. You've already been to work. You've picked up the kids. Everything else is going on. You've made the dinner. And then you make the effort to get changed into your running gear, to put your trainers on, and you're like, oh man, it's raining. And then you're like, you know what, I'm going to go anyway. And it takes effort. But when you put in the effort, it makes a difference. And it's the exact same with this. If you want to be joyful, rejoice. If you want to hear for the Lord, talk to him. If you want to be thankful, give thanks. Do you want to stand? So what we're going to do is we're just going to pray. And then if there's anybody here and you're sick, or you're in pain, or you have a condition that you don't want to have anymore, or you want prayer for absolutely anything, then we, all of us, would love the opportunity to pray for you. And that's what we'll do. And please know this, that if you come and you share something with us, it's in confidence. And we're not going to go and tell everybody else what happened or what you told us. Okay? Lord, we love you. And we do thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you that you have taken us out of the mud and the mire. And your desire is to lift us up. Your word tells us that we're the light of the world. And I pray, God, that we would represent you in the best possible light. And Father, I pray now that you would give us a realization of just exactly what it is we carry. Because you told us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. So would you enable us, embolden us, to give away as freely as we've received, and we ask that in Jesus' name.